This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. The Rhode Island General Assembly has now wrapped up its regular legislative session. It saw passage of an $8.7 billion budget. The budget keeps many of Governor Gina Raimondo's spending proposals, promoted by the governor as pro-growth and pro-jobs.
To talk about that in this segment, our guest is Professor Sylvia Maxfield, Dean of the Providence College School of Business. Dr. Maxfield, thanks for coming.
Thank you, Dave.
What does the relatively quick passage of the bulk of the budget signify? A very quick session, 3 hours. Normally it's an all-nighter. What does that signify to you?
Gina Raimondo has a tremendous amount of support. I think she's worked hard to get it. I'm very, very optimistic about where we are in the state, thanks to that.
And what does it say to the rest of the country about Rhode Island's seriousness in turning things around for its economy?
Well, it was a bipartisan support that was quite remarkable, and I think that that signals to the rest of the country that we've hit rock bottom and everyone's coming together around jobs.
Why do you think a quick passage gives you optimism? What does that mean to you?
You know, I think people are, again, focused on jobs. We've lagged the nation to such an extent, and our economy really is quite ill. And I think people are putting partisanship, they're putting local interest, which is the form that partisanship seems to take mostly in Rhode Island, aside in the interest of coming together for growth. A million people, this is like a city, it's not a state. And if you come together, I think you can be very successful. So I think that Gina's very good at painting a picture of what can happen if we work together.
So what do you think is if there is a signature piece of this legislation for job growth, what would it be?
You know, it's an interesting budget. A lot of it is fairly traditional with tax credits. The jobs that will come from a lot of the tax credits are going to be in the construction industry. But, you know, there's depending on how you count it, a couple of million for some relatively innovative things that are focused on innovation. Innovation vouchers for educational institutions, for example, the WaveMaker Fellowship Program to try to keep young graduates in state. So, you know, there are a number of things that are new and different.
Reduced minimum corporate tax. That seems to be significant from a business perspective.
It's a remarkably pro-business budget. Taking it down from 500 to 450. You know, I think there were people in the state who wanted it to go to zero, which certainly would have sent a signal, but 450 is nice, makes it lower than Massachusetts, for example. There's a lot of competition. Rhode Island, you know, you don't have to drive too far and you're in Connecticut. You don't have to drive too far in Massachusetts. And Providence has one of the highest corporate tax rates I know of. That still remains a problem. But lowering it to 450 is a good thing.
And dropping the tax on the commercial energy bill seems to be a similar thing there.
Absolutely. And there's tax credits, a piece that was added by the General Assembly, tax credits for job creation if you create more than 10 jobs or if you grow your employee workforce by more than 10%. I think who is in political office really matters. You know, we're known as a state where elected officials aren't always individuals who we can be uniformly proud of. And I think it matters who gets elected, who's in the General Assembly, who's in the governor's office, who works for the governor. So I think it's a victory for politics.
When you travel around the country and you speak to your colleagues or, you know, peers, do they talk about that? Is that an issue for them, you know, in the academic economic world?
I think everybody is surprised that our economy is as sick as it is. You know, in many ways, our economy looks like that of Nevada. And you go around the country and you say that to people and they're sort of shocked because they could believe that Maine is not doing well, but they think Rhode Island, sandwiched between Connecticut and Massachusetts, ought to be doing well. But they also have a stereotypical impression of Rhode Island as a little bit of a banana republic. You know, our politicians have a reputation for being, you know, somewhat self-dealing at best.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Professor Sylvia Maxfield, Dean of the Providence College School of Business. Anything that really didn't receive a lot of coverage or headlines in that budget that is significant to you?
I think it's a pro-jobs budget, both for public sector jobs and private sector jobs. So there hasn't been as much conversation about the balance of public and private sector jobs in the state, which in my view needs to continue to shift in favor of private sector jobs. Gina, if she'd had her druthers, might have liked to have had greater cuts coming from public sector personnel. So we've preserved a pretty nice package for public sector personnel, as well as creating incentives for private sector job creation.
By private sector, does that mean long-term jobs? You hear about increases for construction, but that's project by project, and you can't put a 10-year plan there.
Right. And Gina, I think, fairly frequently points out that the job recovery that we've seen in the state since the 2007-2008 crisis has been on the lower end. No, I think one of the challenges that Stephen Pryor has is to work miracles and create a very positive cycle for higher-end job growth, for long-term sustainable job growth.
How fast do you think you'd be able to see real sustainable job growth of the kind you're talking about? You know, how long will it take for that to happen?
I've been very impressed with the economic development wisdom that's we've seen since we got a new team in office. So I'm optimistic. Newark was a pretty remarkably quick economic turnaround. So
define quick.
A decade.
Not next year.
No. And, you know, you asked Dave about things that haven't been talked about as much. The $15 million cap is a defeat for the governor's administration.
On
the tax credit, the real estate tax credit, because to attract somebody to deal with the Superman building, i.e. to clean it up and make it habitable, whether that is for individuals who will go out and spend money or businesses, you know, $15 million is way too little to get a deal done anytime soon for that building.
Does this budget strongly favor attracting outside business? Does it shore up local companies, or is that a combination?
It's certainly a combination. You know, the Anchor Company program is one that basically says to our big employers, you know, try to get your suppliers to move in state. So there's a combination. But I think, again, the predominant impact is going to be through construction, and many of those companies are local, but not all of them.
We'll have to leave it right here. This is The Bottom Line, and our guest has been Professor Sylvia Maxfield, the Dean of the Providence College School of Business. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, as always, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, as always, Dave.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.